Is living a Christian life worth it? What's at the end? Where am I going? They're asking. Because bad things are happening to real good people. And they're confused. And their faith is in the fire. Is living a Christian life worth it? What's at the end? Where am I going? They're asking. Because bad things are happening to real good people. And they're confused. And their faith is in the fire. And they're struggling. I want us to talk about this morning. But first I'd like to listen, for you to listen as Ron reads to us from 1 Peter chapter 1.
1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
And amen to that. You know, what is so important about this passage of Scripture is that it just wasn't written to the people of the first century. It's written to us. It's written to you and to me. And Peter is taking into account my problems, my burdens, my heartaches, my pains, my struggles, my tears. And He gives me a hope, a strength, a power, because these truths are, watch it now, eternal. They are timeless truths, which means that they are written for all people of all times, of all ages. They are just as relevant for me in this 21st century I live in as it was for those who lived in the first century. And the first great lesson that Peter wants us to get here is that this world is not my home. That we're just a passing through. You know, when you think about it, life is so short, isn't it? I don't know where time has gone. Sweet memories of days gone by. Time is passing away. James says, like a vapor, it appears for a little while and then it's gone. There's got to be something else. And there is. home, an inheritance, Peter said, imperishable, not made with hands, reserved for us in the heavens above. When we think about it, it makes this journey through life have meaning and purpose. There's a song that we often sing. In fact, I'm going to ask Randy to sing that for us this morning. Now, you've sung it many times before. This time, when we sing it together, listen to the words. Listen to the sermon of "This World Is Not My Home."
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every end are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Peter goes on to talk about how that God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son have worked together to make it possible for you and I to come back home to be with Him. In verse 2 of chapter 1, Peter is trying to tell us is that God has chosen us. It says here, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, when we talk about God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, we don't understand all of that. And join the club, because I don't either. But I do know that 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, tells us that for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Someone said that God thought it, the Spirit wrote it, and the Son bought it. Talking about our salvation. And Peter tells us here that God, according to His foreknowledge, has made salvation possible for each one of us. God, Christians are God's elect, His special, chosen ones, we read. So if you're a Christian, you're a wanted child. You're not an accident. You're not an afterthought. God knows you. And He knew you before the foundations of the world. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. That He chose us before the foundations of the world. Do you know what that means? That means before God ever swung this planet into space, or scooped out the seas, or heaped up the mountains, before He ever flung the moon and the stars out into the night, before He ever put into orbit this great universe of His, that you were in the heart of God. Doesn't that make you special? Doesn't it? Doesn't it make you feel special to know that even before all of this, you were in the heart of God? How special we are to God. And then there's the Spirit. Peter goes on to say in verse 2, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Now, don't let that word sanctifying scare you. It just simply means that you were set aside for a holy purpose. The Spirit has set you aside for a special purpose, that we are His children. And the Spirit, through the Word of God, is calling us, sanctifying us to a better people for a better purpose. And the Holy Spirit convicts us through this Word. Now, that sounds like we don't have anything to do with it, but that's not true. That's not what this is talking about at all. Because Peter goes on to say in this very purpose, very scripture, that you may obey Jesus Christ. So we certainly have a part in that. The idea that God has set aside or predestined certain people to be saved and others to be lost is so far from the teaching of the Word of God. The one thing we read in the Word of God is whosoever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only and special Son. That what? Whosoever. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So don't think that you have to understand all of this. That's where faith comes in. So God loved us so much that He sent His Son and the Spirit through the Word has given us a guide so that we can know where we're going. And then that brings us to the Son who bought us with His blood. Peter said that we are sprinkled with His blood. Now, Peter is drawing on the Old Testament sacrificial covenant where when sacrifices were made, blood of animals were offered. And in every case, some of that blood would be sprinkled upon the individual that brought the sacrifice, or upon the congregation if it was the year sacrifice, or to consecrate or cleanse and the priest that were ordained. And he's simply making a reference to the blood of Jesus Christ that has been shed on our behalf to pay our debt, to redeem our souls, to bring us back to God. Paul explains that in Romans chapter 6 when he says, therefore we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be raised to walk in newness of life, to offer our life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The blood of Jesus Christ has indeed cleansed us and consecrated us and sanctified us to be the children of God on their way home. Now listen once again as we hear Peter say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you can greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Son, for the wonderful and marvelous gift of your love, and for the salvation that gives us a home to go to.